إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew and warn myself anew about one of the greatest evils that befalls us, and one of the greatest evils that exists in our society, and that is the evil of discrimination and racism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Iblis, mentioned Shaitan, and he mentioned what happened to him. And we like to say that Shaitan was consigned to the Jahannam because he refused to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I remind myself and you that may Allah forgive us. Iblis disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once. We disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. Then why is it that we are not consigned to Jahannam forever? My understanding is, it is not the disobedience itself, but the reason he did it, and the reason he gave for the disobedience. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it takabbur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. Allah said, and he had takabbur, and so he was among the kuffar. And what was this takabbur? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he refused to pay obeisance and he refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam as Allah had ordered, and when all the malaika did it, Iblis refused to do it. And what was the reason he gave? He said, khalaqtahu min teen. He said, khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. He said, you have made me from fire and you have made him from clay. So I am superior to him. Ana khayrum minhu. He said, I am better than him. I am better than him, and you created me from fire, and you created him from clay. Now, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling him kafir? Because he is not an atheist. He is not denying Allah. He is not saying that you did not create me, you are not my creator. No. He is being called a kafir because he is denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation by creating a difference which Allah did not create. And that is the difference of race. The difference of race. This is the difference of race. I mean, this is, I am better than you, is racism. Now, the reason I am saying it is because, may Allah protect us, this is one of the major problems with all of humanity today. Everywhere in the world. Take any conflict, take the Rohingya conflict for example, or I don't even know whether we should call it a conflict, because it's a massacre of people in Burma. What is that? If it is not race, what is that? That is race. Take what is happening in Palestine for example, with the Israelis. Pure racism. Pure racism. Only the Jewish people are human, everybody else is not human. So therefore, a Israeli can shoot a Palestinian. I won't even say like you could shoot a dog, because you cannot shoot a dog. You try and do it and you see what happens. So it's even less than that. Right? So they can do it without any reason, without giving any reason, just like that. Racism. Take all the killings that are happening in America, where routinely police officers shoot black people. A black guy is walking along, somebody just shoots him. Why? Because he looks suspicious. It's happening in America. It's happening in America almost. There's a whole organization called Black Lives Matter. All over. Now, point is, the same thing exists in our society, in Muslim society. And it exists in India. It exists in the Middle East. Again, issue of racism. I am better than you. Why? Not for any reason, but because I am created differently from you. that is created differently from you is complete lie. It's a total falsehood, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us very clearly in the Quran, Surah Al-Hujurat and in other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we created everyone from clay. We created mankind from clay. In Surah Al-Sajdah, which we recite every Jummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ. He said, we started the creation of man from clay. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us the basis of actual privilege and discrimination. Not discrimination, because that's a negative word, but the basis of status. And that is taqwa. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Islam does not recognize lords and ladies. Islam does not recognize nawabs and begums. Islam does not recognize primogeniture. Islam does not recognize the divine right of kings. Islam does not recognize any form of discrimination, whether it is based on color, whether it is based on race, whether it is based on social status. Islam recognizes only one basis of selection, of honor, and that is taqwa. And only Allah can know that. We cannot know that by looking at people. Very unfortunately, in our country, we inherited the Hindu caste system from the Hindus. And officially, it was brought into Islam. May Allah forgive us. But officially in Islam, and this goes back almost 700-800 years ago, to the time of the Delhi Sultanate and which is pre-Mughal, about 300 years before the Mughals, where the ulama of the time, the compliant, the scholars for dollars, they created a caste system just like the Hindu caste system. In the Hindu caste system, you have the Brahmins, who are the priests, you have the Kshatriyas, who are the warriors, and you have the Vaishyas, who are the traders. You know, Sudras, you don't even talk about them, because they are the lowest caste. The Muslim scholars of the time, they created an exact parallel caste system in Islam. They created what they call the Ashraf. And who were the Ashraf? The Ashraf were the Sayyid, the Mughal, the Pathan. These were the three Ashraf castes. And then they created the Ajlaf. And the Ajlaf were the tradespeople, business people, tradespeople. And then the third one was the Ardal. This is formally, this formally exists in India officially. Ardal. Ardal is the one who is Zalil. Where did this come from? Do we find this caste system in the Seerah? Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam create a caste system of superior and inferior? But our ulama did this. The ulama of Hindustan, they are responsible. They are totally and completely responsible. I am not saying every alim is responsible. But every alim who supports this is responsible. Every alim who does not speak against this is responsible. And to this day, we have, I was in Aligarh recently, and somebody asked me this question. They said, is it, they tell us that we cannot marry, we are from this particular, within quotes, caste. And they tell us that we cannot marry from that caste. Is it true? I said, what caste? In Islam, there is no caste. In Islam, you are a Muslim or you are not a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu specifically mentioned this. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. Wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. And in another place, Allah said, wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because this exists. This exists till today. And even where we don't actually say this, this is in our language. This is in how we treat people. This is in how we look down on people. Absolutely, incredibly shameful. And please understand very clearly, it's not just a matter of being shameful and so on and so forth. This attracts the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. It actually attracts the anger of Allah. I do not know of anything else that attracts the anger of Allah more than the crime of kibr, more than the crime of arrogance. Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kibr is my cloak. The one who wants to take from it, he said, I will destroy him. Just imagine this thing. And I don't know of anything else where somebody is consigned to the flame forever for one sin. And by whom? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Ghafur Rahim. And what is that sin? The sin of discrimination, of racial discrimination. The sin of racism. You go to the Middle East, you have the same situation. You got the Arab and you got the non-Arab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically spoke about this. We like to mention the Khutbatul Ghada of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said the Arab is not superior to the non-Arab, the white man is not superior to the black man. All of these for us have just become words. We don't practice this. We do not practice this. We look down on it. And we, as Indians, we feel very, injured, and we feel very angry that this is how the Arabs treat us. Come back home and see how you treat other people. Why do you blame the Arabs? Come back home and see how you treat other people, and those other people are your own people. They are your own people, they are your own race. Yet you discriminate among them. You discriminate against the people who are the low caste of the Hindus, which is nothing to do with us, and we discriminate among, and we create that same caste system amongst ourselves. Now imagine, just think about this. Instead of our ulama creating a caste system parallel to the Hindu caste system, if they had said in Islam there is no caste, and therefore anyone who enters into Islam is a Muslim and they are all equal, this entire country would have been Muslim 800 years ago. This whole country would have been Muslim, because the vast majority of this country are people of low caste. Now today we go to them, and even that is all, it's all sort of for show, where we go and we say we are having a meal with you. They don't care two hoots. They don't care, what do you mean having a meal with you? That itself is a sign of discrimination. You think, oh, now I'm having a meal with you, so I'm doing a favor to you. Why do I want, as a low caste person or whatever in Hinduism, why am I interested in a Muslim having a meal with me? I don't care. Who are you? You are worse than me, because from the Hindu caste system, you don't even exist. At least I have a name. You don't even have a name. So, you are not some high caste. You are a lower caste than I am. So, why must I eat with you? Seriously, we have to look at ourselves and say how we are damaging ourselves in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of people, and causing harm to ourselves in terms of our da'wah work and so on and so forth. And then indulging in the worst of all sins, which is the sin of kibr. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all forms of racism, to save us from all forms of discrimination. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to express the beauty of Islam through our akhlaq and through our mu'amilat. This carping doesn't help. Talking about it doesn't help. Our own akhlaq, our own mu'amilat. People are looking to see, what do you do with somebody who is supposedly a low caste? What do you do with someone who is among the discriminated people? And do you do it as a token, as a favor to them, or is this yourself? That is the issue. That is the issue. And the Sahaba showed this. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in showed this. They showed complete and total absence of all forms of racism, even though it was very much a part of their society. It was very much a part of their society. It was an issue of having superiority of Quraysh and the Arabs over everyone. And in that society, the lowest form of life was the black man. May Allah forgive us, that's how people are treated even today. But what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? Rasulullah married Zaid bin Haritha, who was a black man, to his own cousin, Zainab bin Jahash, who was the cousin of Rasulullah, who was from the Quraysh. She was from the most superior caste, so to speak. And Nabi married her to Zaid bin Haritha, who was a black man. Why did he need to do that? Zaid bin Haritha needed a wife. He didn't necessarily need to marry Zainab. He could have married anybody. And they, I'm sure there were any number of, black women available for Zayd bin Haritha to marry. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not marry. He didn't say, "Oh yeah, I'll find you a wife. You are a black man, so if I find a black woman for you." No. How does he show what is the superiority, and that how does he destroy the superiority inferiority? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Fatah Makkah, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to have the Adhan called from the Kaaba, what does he do? Who was the most suitable person to call the Adhan from the Kaaba? The Prophet ﷺ himself. Who is more suitable to call the Adhan than the Nabi? That is the work of Nubuwwat is Dawah. And the symbol of Dawah is Adhan. So Rasulullah ﷺ could have called the Adhan himself, and this would have been perfectly appropriate and absolutely suitable. Rasulullah ﷺ, at that time, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was there, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was there, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was there, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was there, everybody was there. Rasulullah ﷺ could have ordered or could have asked any one of them to call the Adhan, and this would have been perfectly acceptable. Nobody would have had any objection. What does the Prophet ﷺ do? He tells Bilal bin Rabah to call the Adhan. And not only does he tell him to call the Adhan, Bilal radiallahu anhu could have called the Adhan standing on the ground. He could have called the Adhan standing in the doorway of the Kaaba. No, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends him on top of the Kaaba. And he said, go and stand on top of the Kaaba and call the Adhan. Bilal radiallahu anhu is the only human being ever created under whose feet was the Kaaba. No one else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not stand on top of the Kaaba. He sent Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. The Kaabatullah was under the feet of Bilal. Why? People objected. There were a lot of objections from the people of the Quraysh who had not accepted Islam. The people mumbled and, I mean, they murmured about it. Nobody stood up and said, but people were unhappy about this. Rasulullah said, I don't care, you are unhappy, you are happy. This is Islam. Islam is complete and total equality, which means that the highest possible honor that anybody can get can be given to the one who is so-called the lowest in society. On what basis? On the basis of the only way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguishes and differentiates, which is the basis of taqwa, which is the basis of piety. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Who was the akram in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Bilal bin Rabah. Why? Because of Bilal's taqwa radiallahu anhu. And this is what I remind myself and you. Let us not fall into the trap of those who create caste systems and those who support caste systems. Because those who create caste systems and those who support caste systems will be with the one who created the first caste system, who is Iblis. They will be with Iblis in Jahannam. All those who create caste systems and all those who support caste systems, whether it is based on religion, whether it is based on color, whether it is based on race, will be with Iblis, because they are the people who are the people of Iblis. Iblis is distinguished by the fact that he created a caste system. And that is for Iblis and for those who follow Iblis. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will be counted as the followers of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who fought against every caste system and who did not believe in and who did not practice any caste system, either implicitly or explicitly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.